ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
We all do it. Peer through a lit window at night. Slow down as we pass an open door. Crane your neck a little too obviously from the footpath. It's not snooping, it's curiosity, right? The chance to catch a glimpse of how others live, especially when it's a beautifully styled home, can be irresistible. I'm endlessly curious about other people's homes, how they live, what they value, and how those choices are reflected in the spaces they inhabit. In this episode of By Design, we're looking at interior design as a form of storytelling. Renowned Australian interior designer Adelaide Bragg and photographer and author Robin Lee have collaborated on a gorgeous new coffee table book, City, Coast and Country. It is the perfect example of why these heavy, beautifully printed books still resonate with us today, like an anchor for storytelling in a digital world. Alongside that, I also want to find out what it takes to style high-end Australian homes and capture the deeply personal stories they hold. Welcome, Adelaide and Robin.
Thank you very much, Anthony. Great to be here.
Thank you, Anthony.
It's great to talk to you both, actually. And to have you both sitting there in this conversation is brilliant because you kind of represent two sides of the coin here, don't you? Designer, photographer, author, you're sort of dividing the work up between you. It's a real creative collaboration, I guess.
That's absolutely right. And in fact, we were just chatting about how sometimes friendships that are forged through a creative link and, you know, it gives you something else as a person, as a friend as well. So it's been a really beautiful part of the process.
Yeah, we didn't know each other. We were introduced through a mutual friend. And through our collaboration, we have become the firmest of friends.
Work brings us together.
It has.
So why do you think we're so drawn to other people's houses? What keeps us coming back?
I think we're naturally curious, and I think that there's so much out there that you can see, but I think there's a curiosity of seeing how people live. And I think with things like coffee table books, they show collections of what people actually love within their homes.
And what that says about them.
Yes.
And in fact, I think that you do that beautifully as a designer, Ads, because you step into those homes and you help curate someone's story. You don't come in with a signature Adelaide Bragg look and slap it on there and see you later. It's a real examination of who they are, their heritage, their history, their relationships to colour, texture, fibres, everything, and that exploration results in, you know, some really beautiful places that make them feel very much at home.
So when you go into someone's home, what are you really looking for? I mean, both from a design perspective, Adelaide, or from a production and photography point of view, Robin? I mean, what is it that sort of attracts you in one home over another, for example?
Well, for me, from a photography perspective, I feel like to understand someone's home, it's often understanding the person. And I think as human beings, back to what you said earlier, Adelaide, we are naturally drawn to, it's part of the survival of the species, to be curious about each other and to want to connect and get to know each other. And really the home is the ultimate expression of that when done well, that it can show you and reveal all of these aspects of someone's character, the layers, the things that are important to them. It's sort of like a hieroglyphics in a room, and it has a language. And I think both as a designer and a photographer writer, you step into a space and you go, I understand that language. I can see what's on those shelves and on those walls, and that is speaking to me. And or not, or the opposite. So it's sort of an interesting process.
This is ABC Radio National's By Design. I'm Anthony Burke, talking Australian style with interior designer Adelaide Bragg and photographer Robin Lee. Together, they have released the coffee table book City, Coast and Country, a curated look at Adelaide's interiors right across the nation. Robin, what do you think coffee table books are about today, and what purpose do they really serve, given so much is online now? So why a book and not, say, a website or something?
Well, I think as our lives become more lived online, I think more and more we're looking for something to hold, and we're looking to something to feel, the smell of the pages, the feeling of an embossed title. I think we want more than ever a a sort of a pendulum swing to the opposite of what we're experiencing online. And I think that's where the coffee table book and the object and holding it is a very powerful tool, even though in essence it's just a beautiful book. But I think actually there's more meaning behind that.
Do you think the interiors that you're shooting and that you're producing in these books, do you think they reveal things that people wouldn't say out loud? Like, is there a kind of, do they see underneath something, or they reveal something that's not really obviously evident?
Well, yes, I think that's often the case. And in fact, I'll just digress for a moment and talk about another project I did on Jackson Pollock. I was photographing in his house, which is a museum now, and I was in the pantry looking at his pots and pans and his Le Creuset and his lobster pots and his, you know, everything cut crystal glass of Lee Krasner. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, these guys were foodies. So the objects led to a book called Dinner with Jackson Pollock, Recipes, Art and Nature. And those objects revealed something to me that then became an entire book, and it became, you know, a bestseller, and it was like a new story about Jackson Pollock. And I think that's an example. I think in the case of Adelaide's book, one of the things that I was very privileged to do very early on in the project was Adelaide invited me to go to her family property with her, and seeing that and seeing the corrugated iron walls of the tack shed where she'd spent endless hours as a kid, you know, smelling the leather in those saddles and seeing her relationship with the land and also the materials, you know, the beautiful merino wool that came out of the wool shed, the timber, the stone that was down in the valley, all of that translates into this obsession that she has with natural materials. And until you see it, you know, you can step into one of her homes and you can feel it as much as you can see it, and you can touch it. And I think that that's one of the very powerful aspects of what she does and what a really good designer can do, I think.
Yeah. And Adelaide, so do those textures and things sound, that was what Robin was just talking about, do they sound right to you?
They do. I actually didn't know until I started this process with Robbie how much that childhood influenced my creative life. So the book, we laugh about it, Robbie and I, that it's been the best therapy that I have ever done in my life. But it started just project-driven, and then it evolved into something deeply personal. And it is the story of me growing up on a mountain on a plateau with quite a very uncomplicated, simple, rural Australian childhood, and how that has been reflected in my whole, I've had a business for 35 years, how that childhood basically has driven my interior design business. And until I did this, and until Robbie started asking me questions and things like, she'd say to me, why do you like the colour green? And I'd say, I don't know, it's just a good colour. And then she said, no, let's think about this. And things like the colour green for me, I do, it's my favourite colour. But it actually came from growing up on the land, and when seasons were good, when it had rained, everybody was happy.
And in fact, I remember you telling me a story, Adelaide, of the first thing that you do when you step onto a new project is you look at the colour of the dirt upon which that house is built, and you bring that as your base colour into the home. And I think that's brilliant because it's a grounding, anchoring design sort of principle, really, but it comes from, again, from where you come from and, you know, your obsession with dirt. You yes. loved it, let's be honest. You love it.
So, Robin, what about you? I mean, you grew up in the Grampians.
Well, I was
is
born...
Is that right?
Yeah, I was born in Stawell, which is just near the Grampians. My parents were just on a small property there. My grandfather had land around the Grampians area. So my earliest memories, a lot of them were climbing those massive, you know, 350-year-old gums that go as far as the eye can see there. And they're very powerful images. And I think so for me, when I went to Adelaide's property, I was like, gosh, I just felt this sort of yearning. And I think it really connected me in with that. And that was a very meaningful part of the project as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask, was there a synergy between you both because of your respective upbringings in those wonderful places?
I think there definitely wasn't there?
Yeah.
We love Australia. We love the Australian bush. And the more that we got to know each other, the more we love the light. We have so much in common in that way.
You're listening to By Design on ABC Radio National. I'm Anthony Burke. And I'm so curious about how we capture the soul of Australian living and the Australian aesthetic. My guests are the renowned interior designer Adelaide Bragg and photographer and author Robin Lee. And their book, City, Coast and Country, reflects a distinctly Australian sensibility. I'm keen to know more about how their childhoods in the bush continue to influence their creative work today. Adelaide Bragg.
As a child, I had absolutely no idea that I was creative. I did no art, I did the basic curriculum at school, but I did have an affiliation with colour. Colour used to do things to my heartbeat without really even knowing it. But I ended up going to tech college at night in Sydney, and I worked at Laura Ashley in Double Bay to pay for my flowers to go to tech. But the flowers fell away and the interiors picked up. And then I actually ended up at the most beautiful shop in Queen Street, Willara, called Colfax and Fowler. And that was the beginning of my love for interiors.
And you've found your road now to a sustained and incredibly successful practice. How hard was it?
Very.
Building that practice, you know what I mean?
Very. I started at 21 with a cousin and a dear friend. And we built this little business. And I think the naivety and I think there's something wonderful with being young because you've got nothing to lose. And I feel very lucky that I've found my road and I have stayed on it. And actually even now I love it more than I've ever loved it.
As we delve into the world of interior design here on By Design, I can't help but reflect on the powerful role social media plays in shaping our perceptions of style. Platforms like Instagram serve as a double-edged sword. They offer endless inspiration and a vibrant community, but they can also create unrealistic standards and trends that overshadow the true essence of home design. So I have to ask, is Instagram really doing interiors any favours, Adelaide?
I have a love-hate with Instagram.
Me too.
I really do. I feel that it should be the most positive thing in the world, and it quite often does the absolute opposite and makes me feel terribly inadequate. But I do think there's inspiration there, but I think I hesitate with it. I look at it once a week. I think one of the things that for me with doing a coffee table book was that there was value still for me with my clients. We photographed these beautiful houses, but my clients didn't want their houses shown in magazines and they didn't want it shown on Instagram.
Oh, I see. So there's something
but
specific about the book. Yeah,
no, they absolutely valued that. When I said to them, would it be all right if I photographed your house? Because we run a super discreet business. And I said, would it be all right if I put it in a coffee table book? And they were like, yes. Yes, I would love that. And I think that it's the longevity. I think it is that pure pleasure of being able to turn a page. And my clients have been so thrilled with seeing their beautiful work in this and their beautiful homes.
Robin, what's the trick to photographing a house then?
Well, I think the first trick is to choose the house carefully. So there's some houses you can step into and you can do a bit of rearranging and you can kind of shoot it and it comes out well. There are some spaces that will never come out well. The good thing about a project like this is that any space or anything I did with Adelaide, like it was always sort of photo ready because it was just the way she curates things. And Lisa Cohen, who did a lot of the photography as well, she steps into these rooms and they're kind of ready to roll. I think that's one thing. So we're fortunate, obviously, to be able to photograph these extraordinary spaces. But I think the other thing is, and it took me probably years to work this out, and I think this is where the mentoring piece is really important, to find good mentors early on. And I had a really good mentor in John Gollings, who's Australian photographer extraordinaire. And he used to be quite brutally honest to me when I was a student at RMIT, and he'd say, you've got to get back to the Bauhaus. And I'm like, what's the Bauhaus? I had no idea. It was the whole thing was terrifying. But what he helped me realise, even though I have no interest in mid-century design whatsoever, I think I'm the only one in Australia, but he used to say, you need to work out what a brick is before you build a house. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. But he just kept insisting on this. And then he said, okay, here's the deal. You can use one lens, one light, one subject on a plain background. Until you can get that right, you can't do anything else.
Wow. Okay.
So I followed that. I went into the Bauhaus jail for probably 3 years. But then when I broke out of it, I had this sort of like underpinning of a discipline and rigor. And that's what he gave me. So I think anyone in a creative space, and I even have mentors now, I think it's just vitally important to have good mentors.
I'm struck by that tension photographer Robin Lee is describing between discipline and instinct, between the rigour of learning the rules and then the confidence to break them. Because I wonder if Australian design now is as much about attitude as it is about style, or even a way of working with climate and light, materials, and a certain informality. So does Adelaide think there's a distinctly Australian interior style out there?
I think there's a robustness to beautiful Australian interiors. You know, there's a strength. I think there's often, I love the use of, you know, natural fibres, natural products, wool, stone. I think that the strength that we have, I'm thinking of the houses, the modern houses, even the traditional houses that I walk into. I think that I love that, that there is a, there's often good scale, but I think it is this natural, we've talked about, haven't we, Robbie, but like a natural...
The natural materials
and honouring that. But also I think in Australia for me, the light, we have to consider the light and whether that is actually providing shade or actually providing full light. But I think that there's something very special with that.
I agree. Yeah. And I also think there's a rule breaking that tends to happen here. I think because we're, you know.
Sort of a confidence, you mean?
Yes. And it's like we don't, sometimes I think elsewhere things can be too hemmed in around the rules of the way things should be. I think Australians can be highly creative and, yeah, I see a lot of interiors around the world and I always find the Australian interiors more refreshing because maybe it is that light, but I also think there's a rule breaking. There's a little bit of a...
They're brave.
Yes.
This is By Design on Radio National. I'm Anthony Burke. Adelaide, just a little bit more about your response as a designer. I mean, we've talked about the light. That's, I think we kind of agree that it's like a pretty phenomenal foundation to thinking about design in Australia. But I'm kind of curious about how you design in your process around, I guess, homes designed for different chapters of one's life. You know, that's not one, our lives are not one thing. And I suppose when you walk into a client's place, you sort of think, well, you're a certain stage of life or you're in a certain situation. How do you sort of get your head around that? And in particular, maybe people getting older or people with young families, how do you kind of work those mechanics of life into your design thinking?
I think they're absolutely essential, those questions. And literally you can look at the client and depending on an age, a stage, we very, very much keep that in mind. So if a client is older, we make sure that everything they can sit on, they'll be able to get out of. Because I decorate houses for longevity, you know, and that may be in 10 years' time. But it can still be beautiful and extraordinary to look at. But at the same time, that it gives the longevity that somebody can live there for a very long time. But also with young families, and, you know, we ask people if they've got, you know, have they got a dog in a bed? You know, is the dog on the sofa? How many children? Do the children sit and eat at a table or do they sit and eat on the sofa? You know, more often they do. We design around that because I think that homes really do need not only to be beautiful, but they need to be practical. They need to really work for families, for life. We love to create, hopefully for clients, that there's that generosity that, you know, I grew up in this incredibly generous house with my mum and dad welcoming everybody. And I think that if I can achieve that by things not being precious, but at the same time looking absolutely exquisite, but maybe we've used fabrics that you could scrub.
I suppose too, a lot of people would get in touch with you thinking, well, we want to sort of create a new look for the home. We really want to kind of, you know, do the place up and get into a place where we're comfortable again and we're happy with it. But then you've got this balance between that and a family history that you might want to honour. How do you find making that balance around that contemporary moment of the design, but the history that you need to kind of keep there?
Again, that's really one of our fundamentals for how I run a business. That, again, is that we're sort of repeating ourselves a little, but the homes have to speak about the people who live there. And most people have heirlooms or paintings or rugs, something that they love, that they want to use. And we enable that.
And in fact, sometimes just from my point of view, I see that they say, oh no, we'll get rid of that chair. And you'll go, no. The bones of that chair are great. It just needs to be recovered. And here's, you know, five fabrics that'll look gorgeous.
Yeah,
and
I recover.
Think, yeah. So sometimes you're almost driving them to keep things that you can see past the sort of, you know, sometimes a shabby cushion or whatever, and you know how it can look when it's redone.
Yeah, because the bones are good. But also often things that do have the stories or have some age are interesting.
There's such a lovely optimism in both of your voices that I can hear as you speak about this work and about the ideas that you can bring to life in people's homes. And I wonder if that optimism, I wonder how that translates to your ideas about where we're going, you know, into the future. I mean, are you feeling optimistic about the way we're approaching the idea of home in Australia?
I am very much so, because I see it with my business that the handmade is valued. And I think that that's very special for me, because that's what I love. That's, you know, that's a foundation probably of my business. And I think that there is immense value on that creativity now. People value it.
Mm. And sometimes there's a swing to the other side. You know, in life it can feel sometimes a bit difficult out in the world and the news and all that information that just keeps coming at you. And I think the home is just such a sanctuary, and done well, it really just, you can step inside that door and just feel your shoulders dropping. And I think that's where these types of interiors that are made with authentic materials sourced, you know, thoughtfully, can make a big difference to the well-being of the people who live in there.
I'm a little bit sheepish about asking this next last question for you, but I'm kind of very curious to know, for both of you, which coffee table book, not your own, has earned a permanent place on your own coffee table?
Or anything that Robbie Lee wrote.
Oh, there you go.
That's very kind, Ed. Well, actually, a recent one that I absolutely love is by Jason Jones. He's done a book on his world of food through decades and decades. He started off in restaurants playing the piano out in a country restaurant, and he's now owns quite a few places around Melbourne, including Entrecote and Gigi's. And he's done this beautiful book on food. But really, his partner Brem has created these atmospheres whereby the experience of the eating and the sitting and the listening to the music and all of that is woven in through the book, and that's my current favourite.
Well, I mean, from both of you, with fabulous practices in rich in light and colour and the Australian sort of ethos of living, which is so evident in the way you talk about it all, it's been wonderful talking with you this afternoon. Thanks so much for giving me your time.
Thank you so much for having
us. It's such a pleasure. Thank you.
That's Adelaide Bragg, who's an interior designer, and Robin Lee, who's a photographer and author. And their book, City, Coast and Country, Australian Interiors by Adelaide Bragg, is written and photographed by Robin Lee and is a Thames and Hudson book. Coffee table books are more than stylish objects. They're quiet autobiographies. The creative partnership between Australian interior designer Adelaide Bragg and photographer and author Robin Lee draws on the threads of their shared childhoods, the wide open skies of the bush, the green of the countryside after rain, transforming these evocative memories into layered interior stories. In their work, textures, colours and spaces become a kind of narrative language. Together, they capture not just beautiful high-end interiors, but the emotional and personal histories that make a house feel like home. This is ABC Radio National's By Design. I'm Anthony Burke. Before we go, a quick heads up. Our brilliant series, The Homefront, kicks off next week on By Design. It's an in-depth, six-part look at Australia's housing crisis, but not in the usual way. We're digging into the story behind how housing became so unaffordable in this country and the genuinely bold ideas that are out there right now that could help fix it. Because good housing isn't just about policy or finance or the market forces that ultimately shape what gets built. It's also about design and a fundamental shift in how you and I think about what home can be. So set aside the next 6 weeks for The Homefront. And during that time, you'll still be able to catch our weekly segment, The Extraordinary Everyday, in the podcast feed. So make sure you're following By Design on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts to catch those new episodes. That's next time on By Design, because in a rapidly changing world, Design Matters. The producer of By Design is Siobhan Hunt. The EP is Rhiannon Brown. This program was produced on Gadigal land and the lands of the Wurundjeri.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.